I'm going to preface how the Lord's laid on my heart for the next subject of, or the next series of sermons that he's laid on my heart to, for us to meditate upon. So, last week sometime, I stopped off at a McDonald's to grab something to eat, and on my way back to the dealership, there was a bus stop, and next to a bus stop was a homeless man that was kind of covered himself with a blanket or a towel or yes, something. And then right next to him was a regular-looking guy that was talking to him, attending his needs. And the Lord laid on my heart the parable of the Good Samaritan. Which, that was the message that I had last weekend in Colorado Springs. And I'm not going to have that message here, not right now, as we go on. But the Lord's laid on my heart that we look at parables and we talk about parables. So the next couple of sermons you'll be hearing from me will be about parables. The one that the Lord's laid on my heart for us to start would be found in St. Luke chapter 15. St. Luke chapter 15. It's a known portion of Scripture. But before we get into the reading and start meditating a little bit upon it, let's pause for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity again to be in your house and to hear your words, to be encouraged, uplifted, and help us, Lord, to apply your teachings to our lives. Help us, Lord, to be attentive and to listen to your words to us. And Lord, that we may apply it to our lives and that we may tell others also and help others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read, with the help of the Lord, the whole chapter of 15. St. Luke chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable, Jesus spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house till she diligently finds it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And when he went, joined himself to the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain that filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave it to him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was hungry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, and he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured the living with harlots, and hath killed for him a fatted calf, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should be merry and be glad, for this is thy brother, was dead and is alive, and was lost and is found. So when we look at this portion of scripture that was read, there are three stories here. Christ was speaking in parables. We have to understand how this came about. And it was interesting that when I was reading the story, or I had a sermon last weekend on the story of the Good Samaritan, it was about a lawyer that tried to justify himself. He asked Jesus what I should do to inherit eternal life, and Jesus said, you know, you got to do this. He goes, I do all that. He tried to justify himself. He was a lawyer, he was a man that knew the law. And I'm not going to go much into that story. But the same I look at here into this portion of scripture where it says that the publicans and the sinners came to hear him. It says, but the Pharisees and the scribe murmured against him. See, they try to justify themselves saying, this man receiveth sinners. If this is Jesus who you claim to be, why are you with sinners? Why are you with the publicans? Why are you with people that are not very liked? And how does Jesus respond? He gives them three parables. And what is similar about all three of these parables? What is the same about these parables? Number one, losing, being lost. If you look at all three parables, the sheep was lost. And we'll talk a little bit about more of the sheep and the shepherd. The sheep got lost. The second parable was the coin that rolled off the table, if you will, and maybe slid underneath the couch or the table, and the woman was in dire needs because that meant something to her. And then the parable of the lost son, or with the prodigal son that we know so much about. And I'm not going to get into that. And each one of these would be here for an hour and a half. We're going to talk about all of them. You know, I was thinking about being lost. I think, guys, we have a hard time admitting when we're lost. Unfortunately, now we have Google, right? So you're driving down the road. Joe, I thought about you. I thought about the other brothers here that, you know, hey, you know, you're lost something. You bring up Google and you say, hey, Google Maps. And it'll tell you exactly where you're at and where you need to go. But let's just say before Google Maps came about, I think guys had the hardest time admitting to their wives that they're lost. I think that's a pretty fair statement. And sometimes the wives also, you know, you could be lost as well. I know last week, Julie and I were on a hiking trip. A couple weeks ago, maybe about a month ago. And she got disoriented and she didn't know where she was at. And I said, no, we're not lost. Just follow me. And she goes, do you know where you're going? And we got to where we needed to be. But my point is that there's a point in our time that we feel that we're lost, right? The story starts off about losing. And we'll talk a little bit about losing. Well, I'm sorry, let me just kind of go on to the other similarities they have. Losing, being lost. And the other one is seeking. So we know that the sheep is lost, but then there's somebody that is seeking for that lost item or that lost person or that lost thing. And then another similarity is when they found it. What did they, you know, they're looking for it, they're searching for it, and they found it. And then what did they do when they found it? They rejoiced. They were happy. They called their friends. Come on, you know, be happy with me because that what I lost, I found. And if you look at all four of these, I mean, if you see that, you know, if you look at percentages, those in your math, the first parable, there was 1 out of 100, 1%. You would say, well, why would he be happy if he had 99 sheep and he loses one sheep? That's just one sheep. What difference does it make? If you go on, you look at the other one, she had 10 pieces of silver. She lost one, that's 10%. Maybe there's a little bit more value in that. And then the parable of the son, 1 out of 2, 50%. Value. Losing, seeking, finding, and rejoicing. Story starts off, or this allegory. These are allegories. If we know what allegories are or stories that are meant to be told to bring out a meaning. There's a meaning behind it. There's a reason. It's not just a story to tell. But Christ gave parables so that you and I, number one, can understand what he's saying and that it sticks with us. We know a lot of parables in the scripture. Even though, you know, we've read them and so forth, but these parables were spoken in a time where the people that Christ spoke to were able to understand what he was saying. Sheep being straying. So we know that shepherds oversee a group of sheep, and they watch every single one of them. So how would a sheep stray? You know, you're in a big green pasture and you're eating here and you're grazing here. And oh, maybe I see a little bit, this grass looks a little bit nicer over on this side. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go over here away from everybody. Next thing you know, you go further, further, further. Poof, you're gone. You don't see anyone. You don't know where you're at. And that's a danger, because in our lives, we can end up being that way too. And perhaps we've done that. Perhaps we were in a position where we just, yeah, it's not so bad. It's the, and you keep going and keep going. And next thing you know, you find yourself, you feel that you're so far away from God that, you know what? Hey, there's something wrong. I'm lost. And to be defined as somebody that's lost is somebody that cannot define his present situation, I'm sorry, his present condition, or define his future. So when you find yourself that you're lost, you don't know where you're at, and you don't know where to go to get to where you need to be. We get lost in anxiety. We get lost in fear. We get lost in hatred. We get lost in vengeance, unable to judge fairly. Perhaps we get lost in some sort of illness of there's out there that are drug addiction and alcoholism. And then you come to a point where you don't have the courage or the confidence or the stamina to face the problem of life and the situation that you're in, and you don't know how to manage or to defeat it. So you ultimately end up retreating instead of going forward. And you have to understand that when you're lost and when I'm lost, we feel that we're lost with God. We've separated ourselves with him, from him. And then we separate ourselves from mankind as well. And that's our human perspective of being lost. You know, we look at this parable of the lost sheep, What does the shepherd do? Scripture tells us the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes out to seek the one. And as I was studying this and reading some commentaries, there was a good thought that said, you know what? Christ left heaven and the angels to come down and seek you and seek me and bring us to the fold. And when he does that, and when he did that, were there not rejoicing? Scripture tells us that there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Matthew 9 is a similar portion of Scripture that he says, when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why eatest your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what this means, for I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinner to repentance. So I thought, if Christ was here today, would I try to justify myself in whatever state I think that whatever I think I'm doing wrong and somebody right and what somebody else is doing wrong? And if that's the case, I wonder what parable Christ would speak to me. But he spoke in parables so that you and I can understand what he's trying to convey. That here's the master that is willing to leave the 99 and go find that one sinner, that one person, that one sheep. And when he finds them, to rejoice. Perhaps we may feel like we're like that coin, where for some reason we rolled off the table and we're separated from all the other ones. But see, the beauty is we have a master that is willing to come and find us and seek us out and bring us back. There's joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repents. So there's joy, there's seeking, but there's also losing. So as we go out, think about this master that is seeking. And is he using you and me to seek for the one lost sinner, for that one lost person, to bring them to the fold, where we all can rejoice with the angels in heaven? May God bless his word.